This is the Kindy Rockstars Podcast, Season 5. Bringing you incredibly talented singers, artists, creators, and producers in the genre of children's music. I'm your host, Patrick Adams. Each episode will feature songs, albums, videos, or live performances, along with great stories from the artists themselves. Kindy Rockstars Season 5 is proud to be supported and sponsored by Waltmania Public Relations, serving the family entertainment community for more than 20 years. And now, on with the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Kindy Rockstars. Special episode today, we have a combination music video and song feature episode. And joining me is my guest today. Her name is Riley Max. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And you'll notice in the background there, we've got our good friend, Dr. Noise. Riley is his daughter. But we will not be focusing on Dr. Noise in this episode. We will be focusing on Riley and her album, Roy G. Biv. But before we get into that and feature some of the videos and songs from that, let's learn a little bit about you and your musical journey so far and what led you to the album.
Yeah, obviously, since my dad is Dr. Noise and he does a bunch of kids' music and stuff, I've always kind of grown up around music. I've done a lot on his albums. I've gotten the chance to work with some really cool people. And I've just been singing from like a very young age. I've always been interested in theater. I've always done choir. And I had never really thought about writing my own stuff, but I actually, in my freshman year, I had like an English teacher and we did a poetry unit and he was my favorite teacher. And I just loved it so much. And I loved poetry. I really got into it. And then, I don't know, it kind of just like morphed into like lyrics instead of poetry. So it was really fun. And then I got to figure out all the backings and I had some help, which was nice because I had like no idea where to start. But yeah, and so over COVID, I kind of compiled a bunch of poems that I had sitting in my notes app. And I experimented a lot with the music to put under them. So it was definitely a learning experience for me. And I also, it was kind of part of my college applications process as well. I really wanted to release this album in time to send it places because I was really interested in studying music in college, which I am doing now. I'm doing a dual degree program with Harvard and Berklee School of Music. So I get to take some music classes there and I get to study like theory and stuff at Harvard as well, which is super cool. So yeah, that's where I'm at now.
And this interview is taking place at Harvard.
It is taking place at Harvard. It's taking
first place for Kindy Rockstars.
Yeah, it's taking place in the basement. Oh, thanks, Ed. There is a music room in the basement of my dorm. And that's where we're at right now. I live in Holworthy, proud Holworthy resident. I don't know if I'm supposed to like say that, but yeah, so we're at Harvard, we're in a basement somewhere, and it's a good time.
Excellent. Well, before we start talking about Roy G. Biv, I just wanted to ask you, in growing up here with Dr. Noise, are there any favorite songs of his that you worked on or just in general?
Thanks, Dad. I appreciate your input. But I actually, you know, it's, I really like his music, which is, you know, obviously I've grown out of it a bit now, but I really enjoyed, I think the Symphony album was probably my favorite because I do like, I mean, obviously he's a music nerd. So I grew up on like all the orchestral music. I grew up on Mahler and, you know, Mozart. The Magic Flute was like, I think that's the like my most watched DVD of like all time because we had this like DVD of the Met production of the Magic Flute, which we would watch all the time.
Papageno is the boss.
Yeah. And we got to, it was super cool because I got to work with Nathan Gunn, who did play Papageno in the Met DVD that like I had grown up watching, and I got to work with Isabel Leonard, who now, of course, has gone on to do a million very cool things in opera. I think, wasn't she in that
She
movie
was in
with,
Maestro.
yeah, she was in
She
Maestro
was
with
the
Bradley Cooper,
soprano.
which was super cool. But it was a really fun album, and I think it like really got me into more of like the orchestral side of things, which is why I know most of my album is like songs with lyrics over it. But I think the one that I had the most fun working on was Alphabet Soup, which is the one that doesn't have any words and is all instrumental. And I definitely don't think that I would have gotten into that of a composition without working on the symphony album. So that was really fun. But yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, let's talk about Roy G. Biv. So tell us a little bit about the album as a whole. How did is it conceptual? How did you pick the songs for it and so forth?
Yeah, I have trouble with like just doing things with like no prompt. I like to have a little bit of a direction. So I did the first song that I wrote on the album was Blue. And I really loved writing that song and it was a really good time. And obviously it's a color. So I was like, I should just keep going with these. Because I also at the time, actually I think before I decided they were all gonna be colors, I wrote Blue. And then I wrote Yellow, and then I was like, okay, well, I might as well just keep going.
I see a pattern there.
So yeah, but no, it was really fun. I loved kind of getting to explore the different they're all like, I mean, I think it technically falls under all like the pop genre, but I got to kind of explore a bunch of different avenues within that, which was super fun for me. And yeah, it was a lot of fun because I got to kind of like set myself in a direction and then just like see it through. And it was more structured because I'm a bit of an organizational mess. He will attest to this.
I know what she's talking about.
So having like a set, like I need to have a song for each of these was nice for me because it gave me something to so that I could actually like finish an album. Because if I had my way, I think I would just write a bunch of random songs and I would never ever release them as albums because I would never feel like I was done. So the whole concept album for me was more of like a benchmark to be like, okay, we actually do have to release something at some point and we have to decide that like we're done and this is it for the moment. But yeah, no, I really loved all the songs. I ended up having so much fun. Recording them, so I'm glad that I ended up on that track. But
And
yeah.
you're not going to tell them how mom and I would lock you in the basement and say you're not coming up for food or water until you finish the song.
You know what?
Be really embarrassed.
I was gonna spare you that.
Okay.
I was gonna spare you
Don't
that,
tell
but
them.
now that you
Yeah.
mention it, I
Yeah.
guess. Yeah, no, it was a good time. It was a good time. And it was a lot of like experimental stuff for me. Because again, this is my first time like writing and doing stuff like that. And so it was nice to have somebody there in the studio who actually knows what he's doing a little bit. Not to give him too much credit, but it was very helpful and it was just a lot of fun for me to try out a bunch of different things and a bunch of different, I mean, you can do so much with a keyboard now. So it was nice because I kind of just got to like screw around in the studio and like make random things and then be like, can we do this? And he was like, yeah, sure, we can do that.
Anything.
Yeah.
And speaking of not too much credit, I just want to clarify the whole basement thing was her mother's idea. Yeah.
For sure.
Okay. Glad we sorted that out because I think you would have been getting
Yeah.
some questions. All right. Well, we're going to feature two of the music videos. And first of all, congrats on the album. It seems like it was really, really well received. So
Thank
good
you.
job. And we'll kick it off with Blue. Because I think that was your first release. So talk about the video for this and the song a little bit. Very interesting. You had a co-star in the video, and I could kind of sense the story that was going on. But yeah, tell us about the making of this and how you conceived it.
Yeah, so I actually had two co-stars in the video,
I know.
which is little known fact, because I did the video. So the Blue video was, I always knew that that was going to be the first video that I made because it was the first song that I wrote. And I love it. I put a lot into that song and I was really happy with the way that it turned out. And I did have like a very clear, like, kind of like feeling to it, I guess. I was definitely going for like the bittersweet, like happy memories, but also like it didn't quite work out. And so that was kind of the idea that I had going into it. And I knew obviously with the color, like there's a lot to play with there in terms of lighting and in terms of whatever. And I knew that I wanted some sort of participation from the other party that the singer is singing about. And I did, I loved the, since it is a piano and saxophone song, I love the idea of having the saxophone, which is only present in some of the song and only kind of comes in like little like improv sections. I really wanted that to be the other character in the song who comes in and is very impactful and is ultimately not, is kind of like doing its own thing, you know? And so I really like the idea of having the saxophone player involved in the video. And we actually, to begin with, the video had like not much storyline. So at the change
Bless you.
that. At the yes. At the beginning, we had, was it one day of filming? We had one day of filming. And we had this the production studio was very generous with us, but we had a, it was almost like just, it was because the video, as obviously people who see this will see, has the like real world section where it's like normal lighting, normal whatever, and then it has the blue section where it's all of the blue lighting and it's in its own kind of little world. And originally the like real world section was pretty much just me playing piano and singing and just kind of a combination of that. And then when it turned blue, it had all the saxophone and stuff like that. And all of the stuff in the blue section is still what was filmed on that first day of filming. And so I had asked my friend, his name's Sully. He's very, he was very nice to do this for me on very short notice. And I asked him to be the other person in the video and to do, and to play the saxophone in that small part. And he was like, yeah, sure, okay, let's do it. And so we came in and we did all the filming and I was like, okay, great, like wrapped up, awesome. And then the day was over and the filming was over and we went back. And then a little while later, we got the edits of it and it looked great, but there was pretty much like no story. We were like, okay, maybe we should fix this. Maybe we should make it a little bit more interesting. And so we decided on all the scenes where we would have the flashback scenes with the two of them working on the song, with the two of them working on music together, to build up more of that storyline so that it's more impactful when he's there in the blue scenes. And then I called Sully and I was like, hey, we'd like to film some more scenes, like, would it be possible for you to come back next week and we can work on it? And he was like, I'm actually working. If I don't remember what it was, I think it was maybe it was like final season then. But
I think it was how we smelled.
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But he wasn't able to come back. And so we were kind of freaking out. And I was like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? Like we had already decided we needed this extra filming and we needed this extra stuff. But then I realized we always used to joke with my friend Sully that he looks exactly like one of my other friends' boyfriends.
Ah, he had a
And like we could
doppelganger.
joke
Love it.
about how like they look super similar and they look, and so I was like, you know what? Like I'll just call Blake because Blake and Sully look exactly the same.
They have the same man bun, or
Yeah,
at
they
least they
do. They
did.
do, they do.
Yeah.
And so I called Blake and I was like, this is gonna sound really weird, but I already filmed half of this video with Sully and you guys look really, really alike. And I would love it if you could come in and you could film the other half with me. And I was lucky because Blake is actually, I know him because I've done acting work with him before. So he was fantastic, but and he was very nice and he said yes and he came in like the next day. And we did all this stuff. So I actually don't have one co-star, I have two co-stars in
What
that video.
Riley's trying to tell you is you may not recognize this, but there is a love triangle going on in that blue video where
There is not, to
two
be
men.
clear. That is supposed to be the same person. I was just lucky that two of my friends look very, very similar. But yeah, and I was happy because you really can't tell. Like when you have, I mean, obviously most
Yeah,
of
I
the
didn't
blue stuff
tell.
is, they do, they look very similar. So yeah, fun fact, that is actually two different friends of mine in that video. But
And you pulled off the
yeah, no, it
vibe very well. The story was so obvious, and you could feel his heart being crushed at some point of this video because it wasn't going to happen.
You mean you could feel both of their hearts being crushed?
Yeah.
Yes. And mine, because I was replaced. I played the saxophone, and then she's like, I don't want an old person. And yeah, which is a good decision, by the way.
Yeah, it was, I would definitely say that was a good decision.
Me too.
But it was funny because we brought him in. He had to like teach because Sully had never picked up a saxophone before, and neither had Blake. And so he had these like little like 20-minute like, okay, here's how you hold it, and this is what you do with the fingers to make it look, and this is how you move to make it look like you're actually Sully was really
He
good
was
at
good at
the
faking the saxophone.
saxophone. He was really good at faking the saxophone. So neither of them have ever picked up a saxophone before, but yeah, no, it was a lot of fun, and it was my first experience. I mean, I've done a lot of work on stage and like on in-person theater and stuff like that, but I've never done. Actually, that's not true. I was in a short film that a girl from my high school produced, but aside from that, I had never really like directed anything. I had never really like written anything for film, and I had also never really like acted as much like in film as I had to. And so it was a great experience for me. Honestly, I had a lot of fun. I would definitely do it again. And yeah, no, it's very different, like, because obviously in live theater you get one chance and you gotta go all out and you gotta do it. But it was nice to be able to watch the video and be like, you know what, let's do that again. So that was fun. But yeah, no, it was a great process. And the guy who was filming for us and stuff, he was great. And it was a lot of fun. It was definitely like a good experience for me. And it was definitely yeah, I feel like I definitely got to kind of step into a different world of like performance that I hadn't really had experience with. And that was really fun. So yeah.
All right. Well, I don't think we could have set this up any better. So here on YouTube, we're going to go ahead and play the video for you. If you're
All right.
listening on the podcast, enjoy this great song. Here it is, Blue by Riley Max.
Oh, when I think of you, I think of shades of blue. I think of the skies and the oceans. I think of common devotions to people and places and things. To words that once had wings, to promises we never made, to people that we wish had stayed. Oh, blue. When I think of you. Held my hand, my dear, it felt so grand. I never thought there'd be another. I guess we both lied to each other when I said that I'd never leave. You said that you'd leave me be with the promises we never made, the way I never made myself stay for you. When I think of you.
And that was the video for Blue, or like I said, if you're listening on the podcast, the song. We're going to now talk about the video for Yellow. So tell us a little bit about this song and the making of the video.
Yeah, Yellow again was after Blue, the second song that I recorded for, actually it was the first song I recorded, it was the second song I wrote. Because Blue we ended up recording in the Stanford studios, which is kind of a long story, but and Yellow was, when I wrote Yellow, it was very, I don't know, it was very personal, and it felt very sort of intimate, I guess. And so I always knew that I wanted it to be a live recording, rather than, I didn't want to produce it a bunch. I really didn't want to edit it at all. I think we didn't edit it at all.
One take. There's no vocal or guitar edits.
And actually, I'm pretty sure we ended up using the first take. I know we took a few. I think we took maybe three takes or something, but I think we ended up deciding the first one was the best one.
And it was unusual because it was recorded vocal and guitar at the same time.
I wanted to do
she
vocal.
Wanted to do that.
I will admit, I'm very much a beginner guitar player. So it's not, it definitely doesn't have any, you know, super exciting stuff, but that's kind of how I wanted it. I definitely wanted it to be simple. I wanted it to be, I just wanted it to feel very relatable and very personal, I guess. And I think that I succeeded in that, which I was happy about. I mean, actually, I think, it is funny. I think I generally end up liking the first takes better because it is like you go back and you tweak it a bunch of times and you decide like, oh, I screwed up here. I want to do it again. Or, oh, I screwed up here. I want to do it again. And the more you think about it, the more that like you screw up and the more that you don't sound like you're having fun anymore. And so I think that the decision to go with the first take was probably the right one, but no, this one was a lot of fun too. I guess I got to, you can hear on the recording me like sitting down and like standing up from the couch because it was a little bit squeaky, but yeah, no, it was fun. I got in there with my guitar, and I had to practice a lot in the weeks beforehand because I usually am performing either like I do the guitar part and then I do the voiceover, or I'm just doing the voiceover something else. But it was my first time attempting to record anything when I had been doing both at the same time, and so it was definitely a learning experience for me. It was a lot of fun though. And again, having written it, kind of one of the first ones. I know you're not supposed to pick favorites. And I don't. I love all my songs equally, but it is the first couple ones definitely have a special place in my heart because I feel like they definitely felt like the start of this whole project, and which is a project that I have enjoyed immensely, and that I've put so much time and so much love into. So this one definitely has a special spot in my heart, and it being the only live song on the album, it was good. I recorded this when I was 17.
I was just going to say, no, you were 16.
Was I 16 when I recorded this? Yeah.
I just realized, as she was talking, that the two first singles are actually the two first songs we recorded. This one was You Were 16, and I remember Mom and I watching it and me thinking, oh, wow, there really is something here with this punk. Because it was pretty amazing for a 16-year-old. And then, yeah, Blue, you were 17. Blue was, I was teaching this course at Stanford, and you came out and took it in the summer, and we recorded there. And then I think we did the rest of the album at our studio at home.
Yeah, because most of my album was recorded at 18, I think, yeah.
You finished
or
the
17.
Entire thing.
I finished it on my 18th birthday.
Yep, the last
was a
session
good time.
Was
My birthday present was the was it a quintet?
The string section, the string quintet.
Yeah, the string quintet that I didn't know that we were going to bring in. I was hoping, but I didn't know. But they, so my birthday present for my 18th birthday was time with the string section that you hear all over the album, actually. It was originally just going to be, because I assumed that we would only have a little bit of time. So they were originally just going to be on, sorry, this is straying from Yellow a bit, but they were originally just going to be on Alphabet Soup. And then we found little places to put them in everywhere else because I do love me a string section. It's one of my favorite things to write for. But so yeah, I mean, it was a great present. And that's the whole first track of the album was my reaction to hearing them like play some of the stuff for the first time, which
Oh, yeah.
was so much fun because I'd toyed around with everything. Again, you can do anything with a keyboard, so I had toyed around with all the sounds on the keyboard. And before we recorded anything on Alphabet Soup, I had plunked it all in by myself on the keyboard. So all the different parts were like, I think I started with the strings. And we have a glockenspiel in there, like a fake glockenspiel, which is pitched like way lower than where a real glockenspiel can go, so the wonders of technology. But yeah, and so I like plunked in all of the parts on their own, and then we like re-recorded one by one over with like the live instruments and with the whatever, and that was so much fun because it sounds so different. Like the original, I had gotten so used to listening to like the fake string section. But the first time I heard it with the real string section, I was like, wow, this is a way different song than I had originally written because it just sounds so different, but it just adds so much to it. And it was great. But yeah, I had forgotten I was 16 when I
Yep,
recorded
you're 16 when you
Yellow,
did
but I
Perfect.
guess I was. It was a long time ago now, 3 years ago. Which is crazy to think that that song has been sitting somewhere out there in the ether for 3 years, but
Well, hasn't it? Wasn't released.
well, it
It's
has on my computer.
Oh, got it.
So, but yeah, no. So that one's been, yeah. And I think the whole recording session was like 3 minutes.
Yeah, it was pretty short. The
Like
yellow
we,
efficient.
yeah, yeah. I know. I should do all my songs that way. I would be able to write an album in
Could
like
knock out an album a week at that pace.
Well, I will say that this is the other reason I thought after that one song, I thought, oh, we've really got something here with this punk, is, as you probably know, Patrick, you rarely have a full-grown adult professional come in and have a song already and they just knock it out in 30 minutes. And so, you know, I usually like to make fun of you, Riley, but actually it was amazing. She came in, the song was all written, it was all ready, she could play it all, she could play and sing it, and she just did like three or four takes in a row and we were done. And that's when I was like, oh, there might be something here, because she's actually, I didn't have to do a whole lot, right? I just hit
I
record.
will say though, I will say that's more, I personally was proud of myself for that because I tend to be a perfectionist and I tend to be very much like I could fiddle with anything for forever. And I know we talked about how like the whole concept of the album was partially a way for me just to be like, all right, fine, like we're done, like we have to be done now. But this song in particular, like I could have recorded it a million times over. There's still things where I listen to it and I'm like, oh my gosh, I screwed up the guitar in that one part and I should have done it again. But I know that I did do it again and I did do it again and that was still the best take. So it was an exercise for myself to also be like, it's okay, it's fine. It's a live recording and live recordings are never perfect. So, but I feel like it almost is better that way with the little imperfections and with the little, because I do think that's part of the charm of live performances for sure. And especially for this song, which is again, I guess like the theme of my life apparently is like bittersweet memories. But yeah, I thought it was a fun, I thought it was definitely, I thought the song definitely came off as like sweet, which was what I was going for. And I think that part of that was the kind of imperfection of it all, so.
So I think what she's saying is, it's trash, it's garbage, it's crap. Let's play it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Do it. Yep. All right. Well, here we go. Here is the video for Yellow for those of you on YouTube. On the podcast, enjoy the song. Here it is, Yellow by Riley Max.
Okay. Quite a while.
had seen yellow. You were my yellow. You took me running and flying in. Places I never thought to go. You gave me the world. You watched as I whirled. You made me yellow. You were my yellow.
And that was the video for Yellow. We're going to move into a couple song features, but before we do that, who shot that video?
So this was actually kind of a mind meld of my sister and I, which was a lot of fun. I was on vacation with her in, because she lives in Santa Barbara right now. And she has this gorgeous view. All of the whole video is shot on, like, in her house and on her deck, because she has this gorgeous, like, backyard that just, like, overlooks the ocean. And it was, yeah, I definitely think that it added something, because she's also, I believe she's my co-star in the video as well.
Right.
So she's in it a little bit. And it was definitely fun, because for this song in particular, I feel like a lot of times people can assume that songs, especially written by teenagers and stuff, are all about romantic escapades, but that was not necessarily, the case with this one. This one was more of a kind of friendship situation, which I wanted to convey. And so, it was really fun to get to collaborate with somebody that I'm super close to, and that I, really trust to understand what I'm going for. And she's done her fair share of working on film stuff and working on videos like this. And so it was super fun to get to hear her. I kind of let her run wild with the video, honestly. I had a very vague idea of what I wanted it to look like. But she definitely took it and made it more refined and gave it more of a storyline. And yeah, I was super happy with the end result. And I think that we had a lot of fun filming it, and I think it was a great experience for the both of us. And it was yeah, I would have done it. I would rather do it with nobody else. So yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Well, great work on that. But let's transition now to a couple of songs. And the first song we'll talk about here is Red. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, so Red is a little bit of a darker one on the album. Okay, thank you. That's enough. We definitely get the it's definitely about a very toxic relationship, a very thanks, Dad. Something that's maybe not so good for you. I mean, the first lyrics are all about, blood everywhere, which is, I think it's safe to say that that's not usually a good thing.
Always a good way to start a song.
Yeah, always a fun start, always a positive start with me. But yeah, this one actually, I think, was again one of the pretty early ones I wrote. I think
Think so too.
this one I definitely wanted because Blue and Yellow I already had, and they were both pretty kind of scarce songs and very like simple and very not super produced. Blue, I also got into the details of like I didn't want to edit it all that much, and I wanted it to feel like very natural. And that's not necessarily what I was going for with Red. And so it was kind of my opportunity to try something a little more heavily produced and with some more instruments and with some more I got the chance to go a lot bigger with this one, which was fun. I got to pull out the high belt, which I hadn't done so far in the recording process, which was a good time. But yeah, I think I really loved recording Red. It was kind of, again, it's a bit more of a like it's a bit more of a bigger song emotionally, and it's a more destructive song. And I think that I really was able to like let loose, and I got to have more fun with the vocals, and definitely with the production too. I One of the things that I really wanted was this dynamic of it starting like super small and super super small, and then getting to this huge angry point. And I it building up to that was a really good time, and we got to, I think we threw in some effects there. I got to play around with, he has this big library of like different like effects that you can add into like songs and stuff. And so I played around with those a little bit. And he also got to play some sick electric guitar.
Yeah, that's the most
Nice.
important part of
Yeah.
this
This
interview.
is, I think
Yeah.
this was the song
Yeah.
probably with the most involvement from you, maybe.
I
Because I
think
think,
I just heard her say this is the best song. Is that what I heard you say?
for sure. That's
Yep.
exactly what I
Yep.
meant. And so it was definitely because I, again, before this, I had never really, I mean, I've seen him write a bunch of songs, but I didn't have as much experience fleshing out like all of the different, like, okay, you need like bass and you need something that's more of an anchor, and you need something that kind of comes out of goes against the grain a little bit. So this was definitely one of the ones where I got to kind of learn more of the like typical like building blocks of what you kind of need in a song to make it interesting, because Blue and Yellow, again, were very sparse instrumentally, and it those were definitely a bit easier to write. Not to say that they weren't as good, but they were a bit easier to write because I only had a couple instruments to deal with. But Red was definitely more of a challenge for me because I really wanted it to feel like a big, like I wanted it to feel like there was a whole like band like backing it, and I wanted it to feel this was my first foray ever really into percussion. I hadn't bothered with percussion on either Yellow or Blue, but I knew I would need to figure it out someday. So Red was kind of my chance to kind of like experiment with that and play around, and I think we ended up with a really cool sound. It's definitely it's not pure like rock like Violet or like anything like that, but it's definitely also a bigger song, and it has a lot more components. And yeah, I had it was a lot of fun.
What I thought was cool about Red was after all the really visual graphic lyrics about blood and stuff like that, several of my friends called Child Protective Services after they heard the song.
Yes.
And so that was
Yeah.
interesting.
I mean, we and then we had to explain the whole
Yeah.
thing, and
I
like saying
know.
that it was used for a
The
song is really
basement and
excuse. I
yeah.
don't really take that as.
That didn't really happen, but it should have, and it just shows what bad friends I have and how they don't care about Riley at all. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that song's actually about my relationship with my
There you
parents,
go.
is the
Yeah.
part that people don't seem to
They
understand.
don't get that. Yeah.
After watching
No,
this episode, they might.
it's a
It's
cry for
not
help. It's
to
a cry
any
for help.
yes, to any public service workers out there, it is
Well,
not
you're
about
19
my
now. Who
parents.
cares?
That's true, actually. I
Yeah.
can't, tech well, I wasn't 19 at the time.
Oh,
So
okay.
I think maybe
Yeah.
that's where we come up with the issue. But no, it was, I mean, that obviously that song was a large dramatization, but it was definitely, I mean, you go
I
through,
dig it. I'm
thank you,
serious.
Doug.
I dig it. I love it.
You go through high school, you go through a lot of new things. You learn a lot about people that you've known for a while and people that you've just met. And sometimes things don't exactly go the way that you expect. And sometimes not, I mean, part of my whole thing with the Roy G. Biv concept also, even beyond just giving me kind of a structure to work with, was the fact that these are all very different experiences that you can have in your life, and you are going to have a lot of very different experiences in your life, and not all of them are going to be positive. Not all of them are going to be things that you want to repeat, and not all of them are going to be things that you're glad that they happened in the first place. But it's all a learning experience, and it's all a way for you to grow, and it's all necessary. I mean, obviously, I was a teenager. I'm still a teenager. I'm sure that eventually I'll look back on even my music from then, and I'll be like, wow, I could have done that so much better, and I wish I had done this and this and this. I already do that to some extent now. I listen back to my songs and I'm like, oh, I love this one, but I also wish I had done this. And but I'm glad that I got it out there, and ultimately everything is a learning experience. And there's so much that you need to experience and that you need to go through before you can figure out where you're at in the world and figure out where you want to be going towards. And I think that Red was definitely one of those where it's definitely not a super positive experience. And it's not always an experience that's necessarily good for your mental health. But it is ultimately something that you can learn from and something you can grow from. And everything is an experience to come out a better person. So
Absolutely.
that was a lot of the fun in Red for me. But yeah.
You are doing a fantastic job setting up every song that we're about to hear.
Really?
So we're gonna play this song now. Here it is, Red by Riley Maxx.
Blood on the pavement, oh, blood on the floor, and there's blood in the kitchen behind every door, and it's all in my head, but I see it clear as if I were dead. Blood in the corners of every shelf, and I knew that you wouldn't be good for my health. I can see it all now. I can picture the way this turns out. But I keep running back to you, even when I should be running away. Oh, I should be screaming for help, but I find myself begging to stay. But when it all goes to hell, something starts to go bad. Blood when you're angry. wish for you dead. I may be weak, I may be dumb, but every day I still succumb to you. And I've tried to forget you, but not all that hard. Cause deep down I wonder if I've earned the scars. I don't know what I'd do if I left, but it kills me to see you in red.
And that was the song Red. We're going to talk about one more song and one more color. Violet. This is the rock song from the album. I dug this one. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Violet was definitely, I mean, I always knew that I wanted to have one that was like straight, very just straight ahead, like rock, like kind of definitely some punk influences in there. But I do, I mean, I, as a listener of music, am very, I'm kind of all over the place. I listen to a lot of different stuff. I went through, actually, in this particular time period when I was working on this stuff, I went through a very, very big Paramore phase. So that was definitely influential on this particular song. I wish I sounded as good as Hayley Williams, but either way, I attempted. And
you think you don't?
Well,
who knows?
To be disputed.
Yeah. I just don't want all the Paramore better. People to come to
me. But
I don't even know who Hayley Williams is because I'm old.
She's okay. The main singer.
Oh, I've heard the. Yes, you've played. Yes, okay.
Now, they just released a really cool cover of Burning Down the House. That one.
Burning Down really? The House.
I haven't heard of
it. I actually do know you play. I now mm-hmm. remember who she's talking
about. He knows a lot of the people that I talk about, and he says he doesn't know them because he doesn't remember them. But
I remember
he
the
know.
Names, but I remember the songs.
But yes, and it's sorry, piano. It's interesting kind of going back through the album again, because I definitely like it's a very clear kind of collection of like my musical influences at the time. And I think that this one is definitely one that really shows that, because I haven't listened to Paramore in a while. Like I feel like it's kind of a walk down memory lane, because I listen to all these songs and I'm like, oh, they remind me of these artists and these I know. I remember this is what I'm going for. And I remember like the specific like ideas I had when coming up with them. And I definitely Violet is again one of the ones. It's definitely not a super healthy relationship. It's not a position that the character who sings the song is exactly happy with being in. But it was, oh my God, it was so fun to do. It was so fun to write, and it was so fun to perform. We did it because I, again, kind of similar to Red, I really wanted it to just be this big thing, and I wanted it to end up this big thing. And I wanted it to be just like totally like all like sass all over the place. Like that was just the whole point. Even like the lyrics in the first verse and stuff. The first verse was so much fun because it's just like the whole time it's just like this snarky like whatever, which is me at my truest form. And so it was a really good time. I just got to dial it up to like 110, which was so much fun. And with like the like bouncy like bass line, I just had a great time. And then again, he got to play electric guitar. He got to rock out a little bit. And we dipped once again into the sound effects. There's actually, if you listen really closely in the bridge where it gets increasingly bigger until the last chorus, there's a sound in the back, and it just sounds like this like like building up, and it's actually a teapot whistle. And we found, I don't, you have, he has some pack of like effects.
I have the BBC sound effects library, which I stole from Stanford University when they told me I could steal it. I didn't need it.
And
I have a big CD set of all these.
So I took a bunch of time just like listening to a bunch of stuff in there. And I knew like there's one lyric in there where it says, what was it? It's the,
it was a match.
I think Start to Crash and Burn. And I knew that I wanted a like a match strike in there. And so I have a match strike in there. And I was like trying, I remember like scrolling through all of these things and trying to find all the things I wanted. And I ran into the teapot whistling one. And I was like, I don't know where the hell I would put this, but I want it somewhere. And so we ended up with it in the bridge. But No, and we played around with a bunch of like the keyboard sounds in that one too, are just like crazy, like little weird, like synth sounds.
Can I tell a production story from that quick?
Yeah. Are you gonna talk about the microphone?
Yeah, was that what
Yeah.
you're gonna do? You wanna do
No,
that?
you can begin.
Okay, this isn't actually when I produce artists, I'm not usually producing my daughter, but I like it when they have like production ideas and they have a concept of what they want. And one of the Riley, I know most experts would say my job as her parent is largely to tear her down as much as possible. So I do
For
try to
sure.
do that, but I'm going to say something nice about her right now, which is I'm pretty sure psychologists would say that's the job of a father. But anyway, she was recording the vocals. We did several takes on this beautiful Neumann mic that I have that we'd recorded the vocals for, Green and Yellow and all these beautiful songs. And she was like, I'm not feeling it. I want. And so long story short, she went in the studio closet and she grabbed this crappy like $60 handheld mic for like a old crappy punk live band, right? And she said, I just want to hold this and walk around. And she was walking around, and that is the final vocal. And it does, she was
Yeah.
right. It sounds way better because she just sounds like this is a podcast where I probably cannot use the language that just popped in my head, but she sounds like, I don't care, or the phrase that's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
That's what her vocals sound like. And she understood that she had to get herself in that scenario. And I was very impressed because that is not an idea I had. She's like, I don't want this expensive Neumann mic. I want some, I want to feel like I'm at a live punk show. And it worked.
Yeah. But I
And
do
it
think, I mean, it like I'm a firm believer that there should always be some sort of emotion that you're going for when you're singing things too. I do like I feel like a lot of times people get caught up in like wanting their voice to sound perfect and wanting to hit the notes perfectly and stuff like that. But I guess this is coming from like the live performer and the actress in me, but I do think that like there are some songs where you need to just like you need to let it be a little grungy and a little you need to get that distortion in there, let it be a little overdone. And this was definitely one of those songs. I was listening to it and I was listening to the clean vocals and we applied distortion to them with the nice mic, but it doesn't sound the same as when you're like actually like just blowing out a mic. Like it doesn't sound the same. And that just wasn't what I wanted, and it was so much fun. I think there's some video out there of me. I don't It's probably on Sydney's phone, I bet, but there's some video that they took of me like running around the room and like doing the they had to keep reminding me because I tend to like do the thing where I'm singing into the mic one moment and then I'm dancing around and all of a sudden the mic's over here and I'm not singing into it like at all. But yeah, it was so much fun. It was definitely one of my favorite parts of recording the whole album was the vocals for Violet, 'cause I just got to like run around and like be angry. It was great.
Basically, what she's saying is that even though she's sitting here in a Harvard rehearsal room, she's actually still just a little snot. I don't know what she's
Pretty
doing
much,
here, but
yeah.
this song
Pretty
will
much.
clearly
Closet
make
punk.
you. Yeah, she's a total punk. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to play it now. Here it is, the banger Violet by Riley Max.
Violet. It makes me kind of violent. 'Cause whenever I see Violet, it makes me think of you. Baby. Just tell me that you need me, 'cause I know that you want me, and that's close enough for you. I need some peace and quiet, 'cause whenever it gets violent, things start to crash and burn. Baby, you're finding reasons to fight with me, 'cause all you wanna do is win. Oh, you just wanna win, even if you're losing me.
That was the song Violet, and that wraps up our video and song features for Riley Max. The album is called Roy G. Biv. Let everybody know where they can stream, purchase, and download that album, how they can find and connect with you.
You can find me, Riley Max, on my website, first of all, rileymax.com. You can find me on Apple Music, Spotify, pretty much every streaming service that you can think of. Yeah,
Qatar Airlines
as well.
She's
also
actually
love
featured
that. Love
in
that.
On all
internet. I saw that picture.
Yeah. If you want to take a flight just to listen to my album, then feel free. And you can also find me on YouTube, Riley Max, as well.
And we're actually, she's starting to play live shows, and the next one is in San Jose, California. And for some reason, I don't know if you want to tell them about that. It's a crazy Father's Day show. They called us with a crazy proposition. The City Lights Theater in San Jose, California called. Yes.
So it's going to be on Father's Day. It's going to be me and my father. If you want to hear some of my songs and also hear some of, I'm going to downgrade you to my producer now, some of my producer's songs, then come check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's a song off.
Yeah.
It's a song off. It's
nice.
A competition.
It's a song battle. I like it.
It'll be fun. Homecoming for us, because we're both originally way back from Silicon Valley. So it'll be nice.
Yep.
Anyways, thank you so much for having her and a little bit.
Thank you for having me so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on the show. Love your stuff. And thank you, Dr. Noyes, for everything that you do, and for being on the show as well. And kind of a teaser out there for doing Sledgehammer with me, Kindies Do the 80s, Volume 4.
Right.
But Riley, thank you so much for being on the show. For the
thank
podcast.
You so much for having me.
Yeah, for the podcast, we'll wrap it up here.